Morning, guys. Let's read from the book of Acts. And we're going to read a pretty big chunk. Read from Acts chapter 7, verse 20 to 60. So we're going to read 40 verses. Acts chapter 7, verse 20 to 60. And just to give you a little bit of context, this is when Stephen is given his defense and breaking down who Jesus is, what Moses and the prophecy of the prophets and their fathers. And basically he gets stoned. And but in it, he gives an account of Moses in particular, and that's what I want to touch on this morning. So let's read this together. And it was at this time that Moses was born, and he was lovely in the sight of God, and he was nurtured 3 months in his father's home. And after he had been exposed, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and nurtured him as her own son. And Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. But when he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. And when he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance for the oppressed by striking down the Egyptian. And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. And on the following day he appeared to them as they were fighting together, and he tried to reconcile them in peace, saying, "Men, you are brethren, why do you injure one another?" But the one who was injuring his neighbor pushed him away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? You do not mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday, do you?" And at this remark, Moses fled and became an alien in the land of Midian, where he became the father of 2 sons. And after 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in the flame of the burning thorn bush. And when Moses saw it, he began to marvel at the sight. And as he approached to look more closely, there came the voice of the Lord, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." And Moses shook with fear and would not venture to look. But the Lord said to him, "Take off the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and have heard their groans, and I have come down to deliver them. Come now, and I will send you to Egypt. This Moses whom they disowned, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge?' is the one whom God sent to be both ruler and a deliverer with the help of the angel who appeared to him in the thorn bush. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to the sons of Israel, 'God shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren.' This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness together with the angel who was speaking to him in Mount Sinai, and who was with our fathers, and he received living oracles to pass on to you. And our fathers were unwilling to be obedient to him, but he repudiated him, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, 'Make for us gods who will go before us. For this Moses who led us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what happened to him.' And at that time they made a calf and brought a sacrifice to the idol and were rejoicing in the works of their hands. But God turned away and delivered them up to serve the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, 'It was not to me that you offered victims and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness, was it, O house of Israel? You also took along the tabernacle of Molech and the star of the god of Rampha, the images which you made to worship them. I also remove you beyond Babylon.'" Verse 44, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of testimony in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it according to the pattern which he had seen. And having received it in their turn, our fathers brought it in with Joshua upon dispossessing the nations whom God drove out before our fathers until the time of David. And David found favor in God's sight and asked that he might find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne, and earth is a footstool of my feet.' What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what place is there for my repose? Was it not my hand which made all these things? You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears and always resisting the Holy Spirit, you are doing just as your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayer and murderers you have now become, you who received the law as ordained by angels, yet did not keep it. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears, and they rushed upon him with one impulse. And when they had driven him out, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they went on stoning Stephen as he called upon the Lord and said, "The Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And having said this, he fell asleep. Amen. It's a bit of a longer reading, and I'm actually worried I might preach for like 40 minutes. But just a few things here. A couple observations in 22. It says that Moses had been educated in all the learning of the Egyptians. And he was a man of power in words and deeds. Now, when I read this, I was not taken aback, but you know, all this time I had understood that Moses was not a good speaker. What I meant was, you know, God had called him, and Moses had brought all these issues up. And one of them was, you know, I can't speak. I can't speak to Pharaoh. And so I assumed that it's because he had some sort of speech impediment or whatnot. And so he asks, if you guys recall, that he, you know, that Aaron be called with him. And so God brings Aaron, and he'll be your mouthpiece and whatnot. But if you look here at verse 22, it says that he was a man of power in words and deeds. And so I don't want to read too much into this. You know, it could mean he was an educated man, right? Knowledgeable in words, vocabulary. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a gifted speaker. And it could mean that, you know, maybe he was a good speaker. Maybe in a certain environment or the authority that he had held at this point, having been educated, you know, he was a man of authority, but perhaps in the face of Pharaoh, maybe his fears began to really surface. Well, how am I going to possibly speak in this context to this person or whatnot? But all to say is he was educated. And it's you know, in a couple verses down, we're going to see he's similar in the mold in the sense of Joseph, how God had raised up Joseph, you know, second in command, and how God would use Joseph to deliver Israel during a time of famine. Not only Israel, but his whole nation. And so it's interesting to see in verse 25, previous to that, in verse 24, you know, he sees an Israelite being unfairly treated, being oppressed by an Egyptian, and he takes matters into his own hands, and he strikes this man down. And this is, I thought this was so fascinating. In verse 25, "And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand." Now, keep in mind, this is before his encounter with the bush. This is before God comes to him and in a voice says, "I'm calling you to deliver my people." So, something was going on in Moses' heart. Right before the encounter, you know, the burning bush, and before God says, "I've called you," before his 40 years in the wilderness, there's already something being prompted in his heart. And I propose to you that it's the Holy Spirit that is planted, that has placed this calling, this prompting, this supernatural, you could say. Why would a man who has everything he needs, every luxury, every command, palace, you know, what would draw his heart to the compassion of you know, of a broken people? And part of it is to do with the fact that, you know, he's an Egyptian, or he's an Israelite, and he recognizes this fact. You know, I'm sure that his parents, even though they weren't the ones that, actually, his mom did raise him. He was the one that was in the household of the Pharaoh's daughter. And I'm sure that he had been, despite the fact that in the current of the mainstream that he'd been educated, you know, his parents, no doubt, right, the traditions, the laws, the heart of God. And so I have no doubt that he was familiar and well-versed with who Joseph was. Well, actually, Joseph happened later. Right, Joseph happened later. I got it backwards. In any case, God's Spirit is totally prompting on him. And so there's something there. And so this is the point I want to make. there's a difference between spirit anointed and being led by God and being led by flesh or physically oriented. And it's the difference between this account here and what God would do in delivering the Israelites out of the Egyptians' hands. And here's an account where, you know, in some ways you could say he kind of jumped the gun. In some ways you could say, you know, hey, Moses, just, you know, chill out. You know, let the Holy Spirit do its thing. Don't force it and don't take matters into your hands, in your own hands. And so this verse here, he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. And in the following verses, it appeared to them as saying, as they were fighting again, Moses tries to reconcile, right? So he comes in again and he tries to be a peacekeeper amongst his own brethren. And then they accuse him. You're not going to kill us like you did that other person. And so he flees. And so here you have a picture of where the heart is there and Moses recognizes, but yet the anointing has not yet fallen upon him. And so he takes matters in his own hands and really things become unraveled. It's not until verse 30 where he's in the wilderness, you know, of the Mount Sinai, that God comes to him 40 years later. And you know, a lot of things had happened. You know, perhaps Moses was in a more humble state, and Moses is ready to be filled. And all to say in this is, you know, don't be discouraged when you feel distant from God. Don't be discouraged when you feel that God is not moving in your life. You know, it could be that God is preparing you. It could be that God is wanting you to kind of in your brokenness and in your, I don't want to say deadness, but distance, that God is kind of building up a hunger, that God is kind of breaking down some of the issues and sins or whatnot that he needs to deal with to get out of the way so that we would become more obedient. I was just thinking this morning, and a picture came to me, you know, of an experience I had when I was a lot younger, and it just totally reminded me. You know, I was in the third grade, and I was a good kid. I wasn't malicious. You know, there were some kids that were really out there and really, you know, caused trouble and really wanted to demean or bully other kids. You know, I was just, you know, chubby kid. I liked to eat food. You know, and we played soccer every morning, every break, or, you know, during in between classes, during our lunch break. And I remember I was on what I perceived to be the good guys. And you know, this is just, you know, wholesome kids. You know, they look like nice kids. I don't know what they do at home or outside of school, but as far as when we're together, we just, you know, they seem like all nice kids. And then on the other team were all the, you know, what I perceived to be the bullies. You know, all the kids that would always get in trouble, always making other kids cry. And so we were playing soccer, you know, as we did every day for a while, and you know, just running around, not very good. But this one day, it totally wrecked me. And we were playing, and I was trying to defend against, you know, the opponents, trying to score. And when they had kicked it, and I had tried to block it or revert it, from, you know, from going into the goal, what I actually ended up doing was it hit my head, and it ricocheted, and it went into the goal. And we lost the game. And my teammates were like, oh, you know, they didn't say anything bad, but they're like, oh, and they were so disappointed. And worse off, the other opponents started, like, were lifting me up and were cheering for me. And they were like, you know, these guys that I, you know, I didn't want to associate, they were totally cheering me on. And this is the key part. And so afterwards, I felt so terrible. I felt like I had rejected or I had let down the people that I wanted to associate or that were more meaningful to me. And these other guys were cheering me up, jeering and whatnot. And I felt so guilty that I felt like I couldn't associate. I felt like I had let them down so much that in fact, I kind of a darkness or a mode came over me. And I kid you not, my mentality was, well, I'm just like them now. And so I should be on their team. And I remember one of the kids saying, why, you know, like the next day, or saying, why are you on their team? It had nothing to do with the fact that they had won or I wanted to be on the winning team. It was my own sort of, you could say, guilt and shame of which I projected on myself, that they hadn't said anything. It was just their disappointment. And I don't know how to articulate or finger point, but part of the, you know, sort of like my own self judgment. And it drove me to kind of say, well, this is the state I'm in. This is the type of person I should be. And sometimes I think in our sin and in our weakness, you know, we've fallen or we've had an experience and we've let God down, or you know, we were exposed in a situation we shouldn't have been, and our true colors or our flesh or our anger or our temper or whatnot, the ugliest parts that you didn't want people to see somehow becomes exposed. And you're like, oh, this is who I am. This is the state of the being or the person that I am. Why do I even attempt? And sometimes we become our own worst judge. We become so self-critical, and we begin to operate in that. We begin to walk in that. You know, one of the things that you'll notice, you know, I've had the great privilege of, just fellowshipping with Sean, just not just when he's up here in the pulpit and he's doing his amazing thing and God's working through him, but you know, just eating meals, you know, going around sites, tours. And one of the things that sticks out, well, two things. One, man, he is so diet and health conscious. I mean, watching him inspires me. I mean, don't you just love being around people like that? Like, you just kind of get their energy. And so anyways, that's a side thing. Two, man, this man does not take his words lightly. And what I mean by that is, there's no coarse joking. There's no like, hey, oh, you dummy. Just kidding. Right? There's no lightness in his words. He was talking about, we went through this tunnel, and, he was talking about the auto fatalities or casualties in Hong Kong. And so we were going up Old Peak Road, and there were like five or six of us, and the car was heavy. It was going really slow. It was raining a bit. The roads were slippery. And he was just praying, like, Lord Jesus, you know, protect us, get us there safely. And I jokingly said, oh no, it's going to be 17,005, right? And he's like, no, I don't receive that, you know? And you recognize, man, this man, his words, and it makes sense if you think about it. If you think about the purpose in which why he desires to be so pure so that he can download and receive from God, and if he values the prophetic word that he gives out in a congregation to any given person at any given time in any given ministry time, then man, you can't take lightly the words you say outside of church, in your workplace, on the way to a restaurant, or going up a hill. You know, God gives us authority, and the words that we speak, you know, we should not take lightly. And the reason why I'm saying this is sometimes we speak these words on ourselves. You know, tying in with what I said earlier and how we kind of walk in this mode or this zone or this heavy cloud, we put that on ourselves. And sometimes we speak a word against ourselves. And I want to just emphasize, you know, stop if you're doing that. You're giving the enemy authority. You're giving dominion. You're almost saying, opening up your heart and say, yeah, come in. This is who I am. So make it a reality. And so all to say, you know, if you're saying like, yeah, I'm a failure. If you're saying that, yeah, nobody loves me. You know, stop saying those things. Stop putting power and authority over that. And instead start claiming, you know, verses and authority in the kingdom of God and who God has called us to be. You know, we're his saints. And when you see somebody you don't like, easily you could say, Lord, man, that guy, I dislike that guy. You know, let something bad, you know, bless that person. You know, bless a word of prayer. And you know, you have the option to bless or to curse literally through your words that really come from, you know, the overflow of our hearts. And so all to say, you know, if you have this cloud, you know, I had a friend. At the time, I didn't really recognize it, but, you know, having later on, looking back at it, and you know, he was a Christian, but he in the sense, he had kind of both feet, you know, one in the world, one in Christ. And so he was just a mess. Man, he never satisfied, never had joy, constant struggle. And, you know, he would come to church Friday night, Sunday, and retreat, and be on fire, and you could just tell, so passionate. But then on the weekdays, he had his high school friends that he would hang out with, and, you know, going after, you know, it's, you know, all about appearance and trying to look cool and whatnot. And man, it's just, you could just see the torment, and you know, you would just say to him, man, just pick a side. You'll be so much happier. If you're going to go, you know, the flesh route, then do it with all your heart, and don't be such a mess. And if you're going to seek God, then seek God with all your heart, you know, but this coming back and forth. And he spoke this word, and he said it so solemnly and so seriously. And he said, and he literally, he picked out a verse in the Bible and he said, yeah, Sam, you know, this passage here says long suffering. You know, I feel like God put this on my heart, long suffering. Why would you claim that passage for yourself? Even if it's true, even if in this season and in this time it's long suffering and things are struggling and family or you know, addictions, why in the world would you claim that word in the scriptures upon yourself and almost what I was saying earlier, you know, make that a reality? If you're in a long suffering, if there is a disease, if there's a relationship, if there's a drain and things are just tearing you up, man, claim verses of righteousness and purity and holiness and victory. Amen? So let's bow our heads this morning. Let's just come before the Lord. Man, if there is a cloud over you, you know, one, you know, maybe someone spoke it over you. Maybe it's something that you're still, man, embittered at, and you know, someone who you valued of authority, you know, it could have been a parent, it could have been a best friend, and you guys are have a broken relationship now. It could have been a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a mentor, and man, those words spoken just ring in your heart. And I invite you today in this hour, man, just shed that and say, I do not receive it. And just proclaim that those words have no authority over you. You know, it's been kind of like a cloud, and you know, maybe it, sometimes it's, you know, it's fine, but every once in a while it just comes up and it rears its head. And I just invite you, come before the Lord and just proclaim and reject it. You know, and sometimes, you know, as I was mentioning earlier, you know, any words of doubt or criticism or judgment upon ourselves, by us, man, just begin to reject that right now. And just begin to pray against that right now. And just begin to claim that we are children of God, that we are saints, that we are a chosen generation, that we were in darkness, but God has called us into light. And man, God is He wants to raise us up for a purpose. I mean, He had a purpose for Moses. And in some ways, you know, not being in the right heart, not being in the right spirit, you know, not having received the anointing or the calling or whatnot, you know, things that he touched, you know, kind of became unraveled. But let's invite God, and in humility, let's just humble ourselves and say, God, deal with me. You know, Lord, deal with me. Holy Spirit, deal with me. You know, what are the things that the Spirit needs to deal with to get into account? You know, what's it going to take to get from point A to point B in which we're living, you know, Spirit-filled and our touch and our words are anointed and people are transformed? So just spend some time. Just, you know, just give God, you know, open rein. You know, deal with me. Lord, deal with me this morning. You know, deal with me every morning when I wake up and just adjust my heart. And as you continue to meditate, just kind of have this picture in your head, right? Take this contrast. Moses, prompting of the Spirit, but not yet equipped, you could say, not yet Spirit-led or anointed. I mean, he has a right heart, but, you know, he tries to reconcile, and I don't know what power he's depending on or what power he's calling on. you know, the power of a loving heart. I'm sorry, it's great, but it's not enough. The power of, you know, peace or peacemaking, you know, making his brethren get along, you know, or you know, he can't fight every Egyptian one at a time. Now contrast this first account to that which God would do in him in complete humility and brokenness after 40 years of dryness, you could say, and being a man spirit-led, led by God, led by fellowship with God, communion with God. And I want you to draw that same contrast in your life. I mean, for all that God is doing, and praise him for all the measures and whatnot that he's brought you forward to, man, can you contrast, can you visualize? I mean, one, how much more joyful and how alive this life would be if we gave the Holy Spirit complete reign and authority in our lives. And I'm not doing a judgment call. You guys are great. I love worshiping and fellowshiping, and I see the goodness in the Spirit. But you know, in myself as well, I'm speaking to myself. The contrast to a man or a woman who occasionally taps in, to a man or a woman who 24/7, every hour of the day, every minute of the hour, is tapped into the Holy Spirit. But do we realize and recognize what God could do in our lives to the people around us? And then take just five or six of us here and the impact that would have on our church. You know, like the energy, the contagiousness, and then a church of 40, 50 people, man, who are living on fire in the Spirit, who have said, no, I'm not going to let these movies impact me. No, I'm not going to do this sort of activity. I'm not going to walk in this mentality. And then the impact it would have in our building, in our bank, in our law firm, in our school, in our company. And then the impact that would have in a city that is so gifted in this culture, time, and season to impact. And I mean, can you just see how that would operate? Not one Moses, but 50 Moseses. Not one person, but a body in Christ orchestrated and moving in the Spirit. Man, a giant going from nation to nation, slaying strongholds. This is our calling. It's not a question. It is what God has called us to. And you are a part of it. So let's just begin to receive and let God just deal with us. Yes, Holy Spirit, just come. And give us our assignment for this day. God, give us our tactical assignment, God, that we can perform it, that we can obey it. God, that you can see it through. God, we just humble ourselves, God, before you this morning. God, give us a sensitivity to our sin and our selfishness. God, the same things that we've seen and that we know from yesterday and weeks and months, God, today we shed them. God, today we let them go. The Holy Spirit, just come. God, 8 of us here today, come. And we're going to make an impact in our church. And God, we choose to walk in the Spirit, God. We don't want to operate out of the flesh. God, we don't want to waste time, God. God, I just pray a blessing, God. God, that you would just bring such an openness and a sensitivity, God, to your Spirit. God, and to sin. God, that we wouldn't jeopardize our relationship with you. God, that we wouldn't, you know, for a quick, you know, thrill or for a momentary pleasure, or that someone would perceive us in this way or think of us in an elevated manner. God, that we wouldn't jeopardize a word that you want to give to us because of our own selfishness, God. And so, Lord, we just confess. God, I confess God, we confess our sins. God, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to deal with us, to continue to deal with us. God, get us in that atmosphere, in that mode, in that mindset, that attitude. That you have something for us every day. God, we want to tap into that. God, we want your Spirit to be alive and moving in us. As we continue to pray, you know, today we'll sing our worship song at the end, but let's pray for our Cambodia team. You know, as they're either at the airport or on their flight already. You know, just pray for a provision, protection, anointing. You know, as they go out as members and as a part of our body, that the Word of God would go before them. Pray for Pastor Nate, for anointing in his speaking, anointing in his worship, for the team, for the music, the instruments, everything to come together. You know, every person on that team is going to impact somebody in Cambodia. And someone somewhere is going to be raised up. Praise God, more than one, more than two. And they're going to become spiritual leaders within their church, their community, their house church. Man, God is active and alive and seeking out the lost. So let's just pray covering over them. No complications with visas, entry, immigration. All the equipment that they're taking, that there be no damages. They're taking a huge mixer the size of one of us. Let's just pray for provision. Let's just cover them. Let's pray for them. Thank you. There's favor and blessing and anointing upon them. God, that your Spirit would be upon them, Jesus, Lord, that you would just go and holiness, God, and purity and righteousness, God, that they would go, Lord, that they're going, God, that light would shine where there is a darkness for them. God, would you just bring anointing on your Pastor Nate, Lord God. That will lead us in a worship song. Thank you. Father, we just come, Lord God, and Lord, I just ask for a heart of purity. God, that we wouldn't allow just bits and pieces and shades of darkness to have entry or access, God, to our mind and our spirit. God, that we would take it with such seriousness, Lord God, that our level of purity and holiness, God, is a determining factor of, God, what we can hear and see and what you want to do in us. So, God, let us do our part and shield and make a barrier against those words, those thoughts, those pictures, themes and messages of this day and age. God, let us guard our hearts and live in such purity, God, that we would have an open channel way, God, to receive what you have for us today. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great morning, and just please continue to worship and come before the Lord.